Accession number 29542.
Mr. Maurice Hyde, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about you'd evacuated Villeneuve by lorry, and you pulled back to this place, you don't know where, but you're
just in
a tent circle. Yeah, what happened there, then?
Well, I think we must have been going southwest, you see. And anyway, we stopped in this sunken lane, as I say, over on the trees. We stopped in there.
The column of lorries hadn't been attacked at all by Stukas or anything?
No, of course they were probably busy further up, you know, near the fighting. Anyway.
What happens in this sunken lane?
Well, we stopped in there for, say, two nights, and that was when I had the MO port yanked one of my teeth that I was going mad with toothache. And I sat on this Red Cross pannier while he yanked the tooth out.
Was there anything to stop the pain?
Yes, he injected it. As I say, he got a big RIA, Red Cross pannier. Oh, he injected it, yeah.
So he did a proper job, then?
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, Flight Lieutenant Furness, he was our MO. Yeah, they're brilliant. And anyway, it was the second night we were in this lane. We had a bloody great thunderstorm during the night, and everyone woke up shouting and carrying on. There was about 6 inches of water flowing down this bloody lane, and everything was saturated. All blankets and wet. But next morning we moved out.
Back in the lorries.
Yeah, well, we had there was two lorries. It's not fair, the same lorries. We had two lorries, and we went to, I don't know how far we'd gone, but we were driving about an hour or so, I think, and more, and they dumped us off, and we started marching again. And I think that was when we came to Saint-Nazaire. Near Saint-Nazaire, that was it. Somewhere near Saint-Nazaire. Because we stopped in this place where they were building this, I think it must have been a big hangar. It's a massive place. Only some of the framework is up and there still were stacks of girders. And that's where we spent the night. In these, amongst these bloody girders.
Now, what was going on? You hadn't been attacked at all yet. You were just retreating ahead of, well, everyone was retreating.
Oh, yeah, yes. Well, when we were stopped at where they were building this old, where they were building this, must have been a hangar, I think, something like that. You could hear bombing about, maybe a couple of miles away, something like that. But what they were bombing, I don't know, because of I haven't a clue what they might have been bombing, but I know they were damn near.
And you completely lost touch with your own aircrew and aeroplane?
Oh, yes, there's no aircrew. Well, I say we didn't have any, except for the medical officer, we didn't have any officers with us. There was only there was a flight sergeant in charge of us. But there's no officers, because...
Where were they? They were with the aircraft, were they?
Pardon?
Where were they, the officers?
You tell me. No, I'll say, after we left that lane, I didn't even see a medical officer again. As I say, all we had in charge of us was the flight sergeant, so I don't know where the officers were.
Did you still have all your kit and equipment with you? You know, all the workshop gear?
No, well, I'd say a lot of that, I think, got left when we stopped at this hangar that they were building. I think that's where we lost a lot of our kit. Well, didn't lose it, we just bloody left it.
So what were you carrying by then? Did you just have your own kit?
Well, I just got our small packs and that on our back.
And what was going on in Saint-Nazaire when you got back there?
Well, there was a lot of activity there, because by the time we got there, there was quite a lot of, there were quite a lot of personnel, mostly Air Force personnel there. Yeah.
And what were they doing? Or were they just doing nothing?
Well, just more or less hanging about, but there was a troop ship there. And we had to, we marched right round the, because it's a big harbour, San Lazare was, marched right round to this, troop ship. I kind of don't know the name of this, what it was, this troop ship. And then I think it was a Polish, liner. I don't know if it, I can't remember what the name of it.
How did you get on board? I mean, was it crowded? I mean,
Oh, yes. Yes. As I say, it's mostly Air Force personnel. And quite a few Army, but it's mostly Air Force personnel.
Were you all below decks, or were you standing on deck? Where were you?
Well, there's below decks and there's on the deck as well. I can tell there's quite a good few on there.
Had you come under fire at all at this point?
Sorry?
You hadn't come under fire at all at this point?
No, but before we left, Santa's there, that was where we found out later, that's where the Lancastria got sunk off San Lazare. You could see the smoke going up, but they didn't know what it was till later on.
Did you see the smoke?
Yes. Well, of course, you didn't know what it was later on, what it was until later on.
Oh. But you didn't know what that was.
No.
What happened when you pulled out of harbour? Did you follow out after the Lancaster, or what were you doing?
When we were on the boat.
What was the boat doing? I mean, presumably you weren't doing anything on the boat.
Well, no. No, we left there and then that's where we finished up at, Falmouth.
And what was the trip back like? It's a dangerous trip with the German Air Force about.
No.
Didn't see him?
No, didn't see anything of them.
So what was the trip like?
All right, yes, it was all right. I remember of it. Of course, it was, when would that be? Pretty well the end of June, wouldn't it?
I think it's more likely early or mid-June. I can't remember the date of Lancaster.
Well, I had my 23rd birthday.
Well, that fixes it. Mid-June then.
In France, that was quite a few days after that.
Oh, fair enough, okay.
Yeah.
Because San Jose was evacuated late, so...
Sorry?
It was evacuated late on, so...
Yeah, well, we were quite a while after Dunkirk. It must have been a week or so after Dunkirk. Anyway, we finished up in Falmouth.
What sort of a reception did you get from the locals?
Well, in Falmouth... You mean in Falmouth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very good. We're hanging about the... down by the front for, about 24 hours. Oh, yeah, they were all right to us. I remember they bought some... we had some lemonade and whatnot, some soft drinks they brought out. Yeah, very good to us.
Did you get ashore?
Sorry?
What happened when you got ashore then?
When?
What happened when you got ashore?
Well, as they say, we're just laying about down by the front on the street for 24 hours, you know, waiting for something to happen. You didn't know what was going on. And then they eventually finished. Uh, Well, we did quite a bit of mar. I can't remember if we got picked up, but anyway, we did quite a bit of marching, and we finished up at RAF Locking, near Weston-super-Mare.
Locking?
Yeah.
L-O-C-K?
L-O-C-K-I-N-G, yeah. Yes, we were really right, a lot of ragtags when we marched into RAF Locking.
And was this going to be your base, or what was happening there? Was that,
no, that was, yeah, we were...
Were you still together as a squadron? Well, the ground crew was...
Well, I'd say they were a bit split up. We hadn't, not the old squadron, the ground staff, like, you know, they weren't all there. I think they'd... Someone had probably gone other places, because I was a bit in the confusion. That's how they got split up. Anyway, we...
So what happened next?
Went to our RAF Locking, and stayed there. Oh, I think there's about... I think we were just more or less there 2 or 3 days, I think, and... We got kitted out again there, I think, yes.
What'd you get? Full kit?
Well, I got, you know, what's a uniforms, towels and other kit, like, you know.
All the stuff you'd lost?
Yeah, oh, yes. And then I think from there we went to, yes, it's RAF Huntingdon in Suffolk, yes.
And was the squadron there?
Well, what was left of it, I'd say 105 squadrons had got the aircraft, they were finished. Because they hadn't got I think they only had one plane left. But we went to RAF Huntingdon. I don't know how long I was there, I can't
remember. What was happening there? Did the squadron reform and get re-equipped?
Well, no, they didn't, not then. It wasn't before we got until we can't think where we went from Arlington. Yes, I think that was when we went to Wotton.
Wotton?
Yeah.
Where's that?
In Norfolk. Yes. That was where I think it got to.
What happened at Wotton?
Well, I think that's more or less where the, as regards the ferry battle, that's where they were finished, like, you know. And it wasn't until later on that they got equipped with Diablon Mosquitoes, and they moved to Swanton Morley in Norfolk.
And you went with them?
No.
So, I think all the mosquitoes when you before you left them.
No, I was never with them when they had mosquitoes, because I say we were still at Wotton, and they moved to Swanton Morley, the mosquitoes.
So where did you go?
Well, I stopped at Wotton.
Why did you do that? Well, who were you with at Wotton?
Well, I said they just. Split up the old squadron, some went this way and some went the other way.
So were you at a new squadron at Wotton, or were you just on ground stuff?
No, just ground stuff and just moving about, and then I went to, by this time the fitter's mate trade had been made obsolete. So I went to, I had the choice, look, of what I wanted to do. So I went into transport.
Now, what does that mean, going into transport? Do you have to be trained for that? Or is this as a driver?
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes, so I went on a course.
Where did you do your course?
At, where was it? Ednisford, I think it was, wasn't it?
And this is training as an MT driver?
Yeah, yeah.
Driving lorries?
Yeah. I think it's at Ednisford.
What's your memory of the training course? Could you drive before?
Well, the only thing I drove before, when I was before I left school and just after left school, was driving a coal lorry. Your friend of the family's had a coal business. I used to go one of the drivers Saturday morning, used to drive from one stop to the next, like, you know, but if it's any distance, he used to drive. But that's where I learned a bit of basic driving.
So how did the RAF teach you to drive at Ednesford?
Well, first of all, they had civilian drivers, British School of Motoring. Civilians taught us the basic, like, you know, knock the rough edges off. And then we went to, and they went to the RAF, you know, driving on lorries, all sorts of things.
And did you take to it? No trouble with double declutching or anything like that?
Oh, no, not at all, no.
Did you enjoy driving then?
Yeah, I did, yeah. That's why I decided to go in for it, like, you know. Because I thought it would be nice.
So, when were you at Headness for what year? It's still 1940, is it?
Let's see.
Difficult to
keep. Yeah. Let's see, 19. Yes, it would be, yeah, of course it would be. You know, all good. After 1940, yeah. Yes.
In 1940 or after 1940?
Well, it would be getting towards the end of 1940, wouldn't it?
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
After your time at the other two places, Wotton and Honiton. Now, so what happened after you'd been to Headness for training? Where were you sent then?
Well, I went back to Wotton then.
Now, what were you doing there? Just on the base?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And what were your duties at there?
Well, I do all sorts of things, driving the fire, had a spell driving the fire tender. And
what was that like? Tell us about that.
Well, of course, that was the foam tender, like, you know.
That's for in case there was an aircraft crash, you know.
That's right, yeah. Tender. Well, I called the
crash. What would you do?
Crash tender.
It was called the crash tender, was it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So what would you do? What was your job? If there's a crash or you say there's an alarm, what would you do?
Well, I drove to the site and you had the levers. You had the levers in the cab for your foam and your water. Now, you had a crew operating the big hose. You know, it used to have a big arm. It was a big arm.
So you drive to the crash site, then?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll say you just drove there and...
And the crew did the rest.
And the others, the fire crew, they did the actual work.
Was it dangerous because they can blow up them things?
Oh, yeah.
Never
had any major incident sort of thing, like, you know.
So what were your other duties? You know, crash tender's one part, but what were your routine duties? What other things did you do as a driver?
Well, I used to be on lorries with taking stores here and there and whatnot, driving tractors.
Why tractors?
Well, I used to tractors for towing the plant, like the Blenheims and that.
What squadron was that, Wotton, at the time?
That was 82 squadron.
Were you attached to 82 squadron, or were you attached to Wotton? Do you see what I mean?
No, I was attached to... That was headquarters.
So you were a Wotton staff?
Yeah, still
Wotton. Wotton 82 squadron?
Yeah.
So you'd drive the aeroplane, you'd drive the tractors, what else would you do? Did you drive the officers into town on the tenders or across the... No.
Well, we used to have We used to have a bus service because there was the satellite camp at Bodney. And between them two camps, there was Claremont Hall. That was the officers and sergeants' mess. And they used to run a bus service. RAF bus, like, you know. RAF bus service between Bodney and Watton. Sometimes you used to drive that.
So what happens then? How long are you doing this for at Watton?
Oh, how long was I there? I was there about... I can't think now. About 18 months, I suppose.
So to about 1942?
Yeah, something like that, yes. I was there until...
Anything happened while you were there? You didn't get bombed or anything?
Well, we had one or two odd bombs dropped near us, but I don't think there was nothing ever dropped on the camp.
Any stories or things you remember, particular things you remember from your time there?
Well, I was telling Alan about it a little while ago. Max Stastings, in his book about Bomber Command, he was talking about the air crew going out shooting rabbits and pheasants, and that was Sten guns. But I'd never heard of it. I'd never heard of that. And I think I should have done. Was there anything I'd have soon got around.
So what, anything else you remember about your time there?
Sorry?
Anything else you remember about what? Before we move on.
Well,
I mean, if you've got stories, we want to hear them, but if you don't remember anything more...
I don't know.
It's difficult to remember. So where'd you go from Watton then? That's about 1942.
Well, it was at Watton. Well, actually, it was at Bodney. It wasn't actually at Watton, it was at Bodney.
So you were at both places?
When the Americans came here. And they came to Bodney to take over our camp. And we stayed there for... I think it's about 2 weeks.
How did you get on with them? This is definitely 1942 then. So
yeah.
That dates that.
Yeah.
What were your first impressions of them?
Well, couldn't believe it really. As I say, this was at Bodney. And what impressed me, well, same as the other lads as well, the amount of stuff that they got there. I didn't seem to be short of anything. They had loads of stuff. Food, never see too much food. Used to go into breakfast, for instance. Used to go in there and queuing up, and the bloke and the Yank dishing the stuff at us used to say, "How many pancakes do you want, bud?" And about half a dozen bloody pancakes and piled up with bloody maple syrup. And cigarettes. Well, I'll say some of the cigarettes we used to get from the Naffy were absolute rubbish. But the Yanks, well, we used to stock up with the cigarettes and anything else, and they didn't seem to be short of anything. It's amazing.
And how did you actually get on with the Yanks?
Yeah, well, I'll say the Yanks at Bodney, they were quite a decent lot. I've got quite a few photos at home. Unless with the Yanks. Yeah, so they were quite a decent lot. They didn't seem to be the usual sort of loudmouth lot that they usually are. Yeah, they got on very well with them. The only thing that I remember I didn't like, we had one day there was convoy of three lorries came, driven by black Americans. And they came there with a load, three lorries of stores. And then the Americans wouldn't give them any food. They wanted a meal, and the white Americans wouldn't give them any food. I think the bloody RAF lads were a bit put out about that. Yeah. Yes, no boo.
That's the first time you'd realised about American segregation and things.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, I never knew what was something new. Something new to us. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
So you'd go, Bodney was taken over, so you'd be back to Watton, would you?
No. No, from Bodney, we went to East Wrentham. That was another dirt drome.
East where?
East Wrentham.
How do you spell it? Sorry.
Wrethham. And we went there as a care and maintenance party for another lot of Americans who were going to take over that place. Yeah.
So what were your duties as a care and maintenance part? It's fairly obvious you care and maintain, but I mean, what exactly were you doing? You as a driver for them?
Well, more or less nothing. We hadn't got any transport then. Well, that was... We were just there as a party to sort of hand over to them. Just had a ceremony, you know, raising the flag, and that. And that was it.
So you handed over to the US there?
Yeah, and I went to, went to Stratishall then, that's right, yeah, in Suffolk.
Stratishall. So it's still 42, is it, presumably? Round about there, anyway.
Well, it'd be 42,
And that's in North...
Yeah, it would be 42, of course it would, yeah.
And what were you doing there?
I think I had about 3 days there, and then I got moved to the satellite camp at Chedborough.
Chedborough?
Yeah. Chedburg. Chedburg. Or Chedborough.
And what were your duties there?
Oh, same thing as on the transport there.
And how long were you there? Still station MT, not squadron MT.
Yeah, station MT, yeah. Can't think how long was that now, to tell you the truth.
Anything happened while you were there?
Sorry?
Anything you remember about Chedburg?
Well, I was telling Alan an incident that happened at Chedborough when they issued Sten guns to air crews. And there was an incident where they were in the testing up these two air crews, and one was obviously playing about with the Sten gun, and it went off, and the bloke opposite him in the next bed to him, got about his bloody head blown off. Yeah.
Was there an investigation and trouble?
Well, I don't know. I know I was I was orderly corporal that day, and I saw the mess. Of course, they cleared the whole lot out. They cleared the rest of the air crew out of the hut. And there was the mess on the bloody lino floor. Oh, dear.
Now, you'd been promoted to what, corporal or lance corporal?
Oh, I'd been corporal for a while.
When had you been promoted to corporal?
When?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll ask me something now.
Okay, what difference, look at it another way, what difference did it make when you were made corporal?
Why, just in the supervisory capacity, like, you know.
Still driving, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see that all the daily inspections are done on the vehicles and, checking on the mileage. And that, when they go out on a journey or anything anywhere, they go outside the camp. Because some of them used to, if they went outside the camp and there, they'd decide to nip off somewhere to do something or other, like, you know, and you're checking up on your mileage.